What's up, everybody? Laugh Now, Die Later. On the road to 100. I'm your host, Ricky. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for still listening after, like, almost fucking 3 years. Or, I don't know. I've been doing this for too long that sometimes I'm kind of jaded. Sometimes I'm like, damn, I'm like, I've been doing this for so long. I don't know. It feels like a lot. Also, counting the episodes that were never released.
Yeah, it's probably a lot.
Like, there's like a good 20 episodes that have never come out. And my guest today is I forgot how I found out about you. So a lot of people, like, the cool thing about this podcast is that I've seen like little groups of people.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Like, for example, RBS, like Big Boy Tsunami, that's like a group of people that created something that grew together. You know what I mean? That were just friends.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, even Sam Boston, Jesse from Hoax, like, they all been in Hoax Command. Like, that's like a hardcore punk, like, group of people. Then there's like the Trash Talk. You know what I mean? There's like all different groups of people that are not like marketed as a scene. You know what I mean? They're just a group of friends, like, that work together that you only find out because their work comes out together. I guess that's a way to put it. But through different scenes of punk, hardcore, grindcore, graffiti, whatever, a lot of people were biased. And I was like, who the fuck is this dude biased? You know what I mean? Because you see, like, at the rec center, someone wearing a bias hat or team.
Yo, rest in peace, rec center.
Rest in peace, rec center.
That shit was sick as fuck. I really liked the rec center.
And then you got, like, Brandon, like, oh, like, releasing cassettes or having a bias collab with Big Boy. And then I see, like, the different Ys and Nick wearing, like, repost. I'm like, what the fuck is this person that is in, like, every, like, fucking corner of this subculture that normally don't get along? And then I found out, I was like, oh, like, I looked at the Biden Instagram and I looked, it was you. And I was like, and then, like, I like how you didn't have a lot. And
yeah.
I was like, this is crazy. And then I ended up coming to your house that day, like, a week later. We had the craziest talk.
Yeah.
That, I mean, maybe it'll come out. But without further ado, my guest here today is P. Weber. How you doing?
Yeah, it was good. Feeling pretty good. Feel really good. It's a beautiful day. Weather's kind of bipolar, but it's nice.
Sunny day in Long Beach, yeah.
It was raining like an hour ago, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to rain in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, describe yourself for the people who don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, my name's P. Weber, also known as Saxon, also known as, I guess I got a gang of names, but, I don't know how to really describe myself. I'm a photographer, producer, I do all of the project coordination for Biased, that's like my baby, yeah, I guess I just do wear a lot of hats, but kind of everywhere and nowhere at once, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's hard for me to kind of sell myself. I'm known for underselling myself. I don't really know how to present myself in that light.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from Santa Cruz, California. I lived there until I was 14. And then I spent all of my transformative years in San Jose. And that's kind of where I met a lot of people and got a lot more acquainted with the punk scene, hardcore scene, power violence scene, whatever kind of scene you want to call it. And that's kind of where I found my love for photography and product development and making clothes and novelty items and just whatever I could make, I guess. Just kind of expressing myself through
so
creation.
Unlike one person, unlike a person would choose, like, oh, I'm an angry person, so I like hardcore, or I'm a dark person, I like metal. You know what I mean? And they just kind of stick to that thing and maybe like other things as they grow older. But
yeah.
You like really like you really like Ceremony, but then you also really like like some niche grindcore band from 2006 that like nobody remembers, you know what I mean? But then you also like, I don't know, like oldies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so like you really like, which is important, I think, for those who are listening, that you actually really like a lot of things, not just like, not just like, oh, I like this, like I like the top 10 hardcore bands and the top 10 grindcore bands, you know what I mean? Like,
I think the more things you like, the more confusing it is to sell yourself or have some sort of identity to the things that you like. But for me, hardcore and punk both have so many parallels, and hardcore kind of came from punk, but I think a lot of people, at least in the earlier days, now it's all kind of blurred together, which I think is sick, even though you mentioned earlier there is different bubbles and circles. I kind of saw, damn, shout out that baby crying loud as fuck.
Shut the fuck up.
Nah, I just saw a lot of parallels in it, and when I was around 15 or 16, I saw the parallels in underground hip-hop and hardcore, and I thought they shared a lot of the same morals and values. And then as I fell deeper into hip-hop, I started to get into producing, which caused me to dig more into every genre, and I saw a lot of parallels in punk, hip-hop, soul, jazz, and funk music. Because at the end of the day, that's all punk music. Like, punk is defined by a sound and image, but the ethos is still kind of directly associated with anti-establishment and counterculture. And that's kind of where I saw, like, I mean, there's all kinds of argument about punk and hardcore and hip hop, like where it all started, but pretty much started in the 70s. I should say when it started, not where, but even before that, there's tracks from the 60s that are punk as fuck. There's like weird ass Italian library tracks that sound punk. Like there's I don't know, there's parallels in all of it. So to see people have such a black and white line between what is what is kind of a turnoff to me, because it makes me feel like people aren't digging deep enough to see what the parallels might be, just because things are defined by like a certain name.
I think you're right, but I think people like, I feel like musically it's not that different. Power Violence and grindcore, hardcore and like metal, punk are like not even different at all. Like,
but I have homies that are like, oh, it's super different. I got like diehard grindcore homies that are just like, fuck that hardcore shit, like fuck that like
two-step shit.
This is my best friend, I love my homies, did it. And I'm like just last weekend my homie was ragging, I'm not gonna call no names, but the homie that's in this like cool chilling grind band, he, you know, was hating on hardcore, but I was like, bro, it's the same thing. Like, to me, it's the same
thing. No, and I think it comes because I think the reality is that people are going to get mad. I hope a lot of people listen to this. And is that, honestly, it's just like the type of people that are in the music scene. And that's really it. Hardcore kids are a specific type of people, like a very, a lot, I'm going to get mad. I go to hardcore shows, but a lot of them have bread. A lot of them come from bread. That doesn't mean anything, but you know, you see that with a lot of kids. You know what I mean? You go to a specific scene in punk. There's like the PC punk. You know what I mean? Who like also have bread and like dress a certain way. Yeah. You go to the poor side of punk. Like the more Hispanic East slows. So you know what I mean? They all talk, act a certain way. I mean, in reality, it's like, it's not even about the music anymore. It's about what type of people do you want to like kick it with?
Yeah, and. Yeah,
because there's even the death metal like hardcore kids, where it's like hardcore kids who like death metal but are more chill in the, like in like they're more chill people, you know what I mean? It's just like in reality, like it's like in reality Infest, you put Infest and then like I don't know, like Trash Talk, then Ceremony, and then like I don't know, I'm trying to think like what's after Ceremony would be like, what's the band that sounds like Ceremony, I don't know, like Bib, and then Candy, like you went from Infest to Candy, which sounds totally different, but you put all these bands together, I'm like, it's pretty much the same. But then again, you go to a grindcore show, it's like a certain type of people. You go to a hardcore show, it's a certain type of people. I'm like, you could two-step to a grindcore band low-key, or a Power Violence band, but those people hate the image of a hardcore kid. Hate how a hardcore kid acts and looks like. You know what I mean?
I think, well, okay, so my... I came into the music scene when I was about 13 or 12 or 13, and I'm 29 now, so it's been quite a minute. And things were definitely a little bit more segregated when I got into them, especially like when I said I started out in Santa Cruz. Things were very segregated, but there was a band called God Stomper from San Jose. Shout out God Stomper. They would play a lot of punk shows, but their style was a lot more abrasive and fast. They were power violence. And so it kind of opened my eyes to like, oh damn, this shit is sick. Like not just the punk shit I'm listening to, like 77 punk or 80s hardcore punk or whatever. This shit's actually like really cool too. And then when I came to San Jose, I guess when I was in Santa Cruz, there was a band in Watsonville called Uzi Suicide. And they were fucking sick too. And so there's kind of, there's like a power violence band. There's like power violence influence in Watsonville. And so they all moved to San Jose, or a gang of them did. And by the time I moved to San Jose, I was a really big fan of hardcore, punk, and grindcore, and all these different bands, because there was the older people I was kicking it with, I was just always kicking it with a lot of older people. And they had bands that were a little bit more, I hate using this term, but people were referring it to top 40 hardcore.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean a specific band. That just meant bands that were like popular, I guess, yeah. Compared to like, I guess Fools just really wanted to be on some like niche underground tip. But my homies that were in these sick-ass power violence bands, they were listening to a lot of Harm's Way, and they were friends with a lot of, like, you know, more higher-profile bands. And so it kind of made me just be like, okay, this is all sick. Like, I understand the parallels between all of it, and I don't really care about the fan bases. I think if you listen to music just how it is and disregard the fan bases that are attached to them, you can kind of find what you do and don't like a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes it easier for me to dig into old music. And it makes it easier for everyone to dig into older music, because they're not thinking about the fan bases are gone. And if they are alive, you don't know who they are, because like, I don't know what the jazz scene was like. I don't know what the soul scene was like. I wasn't born yet, but I listened to all these groups and just appreciate it for what it is. I'm listening to nothing else but the music. A lot of people listen to music with their eyes and not their ears, and I think that's the issue. So that's kind of like my upbringing to seeing and identifying with a lot of different styles of music.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of bummed me out when the whole Plutocracy Tsunami thing. I was like, in a way, like, I don't know, it pissed a lot of people, but I feel like Tsunami's the modern Plutocracy, or, like, the modern, like those group of people, the group of, like, San Jose, like, the Bay Area, or RBS friends, or whatever, are, like, the modern, like, what, like the Spaz, like, Plutocracy, like, group was, if that makes sense. Like,
the West Bay Coalition?
Yeah. Like, it's, like, those were, like, I mean, different sound, but it's like those are the group, the heads that were like creating what was popping in the Bay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not going to speak on that at all, because it's just not my place to speak on it. I'm a really big fan of both Tsunami and Plutocracy, and I respect everything that they've done for the Bay. And I'm not going to give my two cents on that, because it's unnecessary. And like I said, it's not my space to speak on.
Yeah. All right. But let's go back to when you talk about your childhood. You moved to San Jose at 13, 14?
Yeah.
So talk about everything before 13, 14.
I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional household. I grew up in Watsonville, and then my parents got divorced, and my mom moved to Santa Cruz. And I really wanted to move to Santa Cruz, because I lived in, like, the middle of nowhere in Watsonville. So I didn't have concrete. It was all dirt, and I really wanted to learn how to skate. I was always, like, really interested in, like, punk, I guess. But I couldn't there wasn't a punk scene that I was familiar with at a young age.
Was it like a town or like suburbs or?
Watsonville is a town, but I lived in the outskirts of it, so it's just all dirt. Like you couldn't like Watsonville itself has a bunch of concrete, don't get me wrong. But I just didn't have, you know.
Was it a poor community or?
Watsonville has, you know, everywhere has
really, where you live?
Poor areas. I lived in a shitty area.
Oh, okay.
I've lived in pretty shitty areas all my life, except for when I lived with my mom briefly before, like, I ran away from home as a in my teenage years. But my mom lived in a pretty cool little area. But by the time I made it to that area of Santa Cruz, I didn't really identify with any of those people. So I kind of felt a little bit out of place there. And then when I went to San Jose, I was like, oh, this is sick as fuck. I was like in Eastside San Jose. And I was like, this shit is a lot like Watsonville. This is hella cool. And I wasn't in high school or anything when I should be. So I was just spending all day skating and mobbing around and kind of just seeing what it was like out there and getting to know a lot of different walks of life.
Anybody could be a smart person. What being smart is into an advantage is when you have confidence. Were you a confident kid growing up?
No, I had no confidence.
Really?
I spent most of my life lacking a lot of confidence because of the way I was raised, you know. My dad is a very, my dad's like an alcoholic he's a functioning alcoholic, he's a house painter. Shout out all the house painters, that shit is very hard work. I painted houses for a short amount of time and hated it, but my dad was kind of like, you know, you're not going to be shit, you're not on shit, you don't know what living rough is really like. Because my dad's from Medellin, Colombia, so he's a very hard person to talk to. But he kind of, you know, as a parent, you have to really build your kid up, and my dad wasn't too big on that. So it took a while to kind of find my footing and figure out who I was and have the confidence to do so. And even when I thought I had confidence, it was still masked with a lot of insecurity. Like, I thought talking shit about people or things might have made me more confident or made me appear as more confident. But at the end of the day, anyone with a few brain cells would realize that I wasn't a confident person. I think when you truly just kind of care about the people around you and what you're into and stay true to your beliefs and everything like that, that's when you can really carry yourself with confidence. But to be confident is almost subjective in a sense, because a lot of people do mask it with insecurities and trying to be hard. I grew up around a lot of people that are trying to be hard. Even now in Long Beach, dude, you see on my block, like, there's a lot of fools trying to be hella hard, but you can tell they're just hurting hella crazy inside, you know? Like, they're just sad as fuck at the end of the day, so... Yeah. I don't know, it is what it is, but I think I so am we're confident
like,
now.
Yeah, but, like, growing up, were you, like, ashamed? Or, like, would you, like, not, like, you know, your dad being who he is, and, like, kind of, like, hey, you ain't shit, like...
I just had imposter syndrome before I knew what it was.
What is imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome is, like, it's not really like the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's like
wanting to be someone so bad, or
no? Imposter syndrome is basically like you put in the work to be where you're at and you never feel as though you're there. So, you know, you get called a poser at like 10 years old and fools are like clowning on you because you're wearing like a Minor Threat shirt or something. Like, you're a fucking bitch, you're a poser, you don't understand anything, like, you don't even know what this shit's about, and you're like, do I? Maybe I don't. And then you do your homework, and then you're a part of the culture, and you make whatever contributions you can, and you show up to shows, and you genuinely care about the culture that you're trying to be a part of, but at the end of the day, you still feel as though you don't have a place. And that's not really... I just used punk as an example, but there's people that feel like an imposter syndrome in a way of life. People feel like that in their careers, you know? You do photography for 10 years, and then you might be like, am I even a photographer? Like, I'm not doing this kind of crazy shit, or this fool's doing this, and like, how come I'm not doing this? Like, maybe I'm not really on shit, or you spend so much time as a producer. I had imposter syndrome as a producer. I still do. And like, I definitely know my way around an MPC, and I know my way around Ableton. I know how to make a beat, and I've gotten love from people that I really looked up to and respected and idolized, and the imposter syndrome still hit, you know? But that's more of like an internal battle with yourself, as it is. It's not really a objective way of thinking.
Do you think it would really ever go away?
I think everybody probably battles with it. Not everybody. There's some fools who are just like, I'm the shit. I'm up. Like, I was up since day one. Shit. But for me personally, I think it's going to take a lot more therapy and a lot more... It's going to take a lot to really feel like, oh, I'm not really up to par with whatever. And the issue with imposter syndrome is that it does lead to a lot of self-sabotage. So... Mm-hmm. People that know me know that I have a very rich history of self-sabotage, which is...
But you fuck your momentum up?
You just fuck things up when they're going well, because you think if you fuck it up right then and there, then you'll have... You'll at least... You have.
I get fucked up. Like, I don't have to worry about it.
I fucked it up. I don't have to worry about it. And I am in control. I fucked it up, so I feel better about that. Mm. I guess it's more of like a control freak issue.
Is that with, like...
People who feel like they don't have control in their lives.
Is that with, like... I mean, yeah, pretty sure that could apply to being, like, a producer of music or your creative side. But does that also, like, apply to, like, friendships and, like, relationships and work and...
Yeah, it's applied to work. There's jobs that I've quit because I was just like, oh, I can't do this. And the employer's like, dude, what the hell? Yeah, you can. You're doing fine. And I'm like, no, I can't do this. I quit. And that's... an incredibly flawed way of thinking. And you know, it's like,
that's scary.
It's scary. It's like the saying, like, you're smart enough to acknowledge you're stupid.
That's crazy.
And that's like kind of where I was at for a long time. And I think in relationships, it's like, oh, everything's going good, I'm gonna fuck this up, because that's the... If I fuck it up, then at least, like the pressure is gone, knowing that... Or, I mean, I'm not a cheater myself. I haven't cheated on someone before, but that's why people cheat, you know? Or that's why people break up with people when they're in a happy relationship, because they're trying to beat them to the punch. They're trying to be like, oh, I already know that you're going to cheat, so I'm going to cheat. And it's, like, a really flawed way of thinking.
Really fucked that way.
But a lot of people find ways to justify it.
Yeah.
Damn, the squirrel's gonna fuck up my plant right now. Watch.
No, I always jump off.
Full dipped.
Well, it's like, I mean, I think people in general just don't care about being better. Like, yeah. From what you're telling me, like, you're acknowledging, you find out, like, you're learning about all these things because deep down you want to be better.
Yeah.
There's people who just, like,
are cool with,
like, you can just tell them, oh, imposter syndrome, like, these are these things that mean this, you know, what you're doing is this, like, the breakup, like, yeah, I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
some people don't.
Just don't give a fuck. Like, it's like, I'm like, it's like, if it works, if I could breathe and I could, you know what I mean, like, if I could be, like, sexually pleased, like, who gives a fuck if I, like, in the long run have a relationship? If I'm...
There's an Ugly Mane lyric that I feel like sums that up really well.
Shout out to Ugly Mane.
Yeah, shout out Ugly Mane. He says, you don't recognize the virus, you just medicate the symptoms. And I feel like that in itself, a lot of people don't see what's wrong, they just cover it up with drinking or smoking, or some people are addicted to pussy or dick or whatever, you know. Some people are just addicted to sex because they feel they might have had past traumas that allow them to feel as though they're in control by, you know, diving deeper into it. Some people, I mean, like my father is very addicted to drugs and drinking, and I'd like to think that people like my father have a great... their purpose is to teach you to not be like them.
And like, they're already... I feel...
It's
fucked up, but, like, they already failed life.
So they now, didn't fail. I mean, I'm sure my dad has done really great things, you know? He's made a lot of great friends, and he's probably saved some people's lives in his lifetime. Bad people have done great things. that's probably what most canceled artists' contributions are, you know? Like, people, there are bad people who have done great things. There's great people who have done bad things, but in my perspective, you know, and in my relationship with my father, he's done a lot of bad, and it kind of taught me the things that I want to do different, and I did follow in his footsteps at a young age, and without even realizing it, you know, I'd be like, I hate this fool, but like, he's a fucking idiot, and I'm gonna just do whatever I want to do, and like, just let the world burn, and just be a part of the burning world. But then there's also the part of you that's like, the world can burn, the world is on a decline, and we all want to save the world. There's nothing we can really do about it, but you might as well just try to do some good while you're here. There's not really a reason why you wouldn't want to do some good if that's the person you are. So from my experiences, I was like, I want to learn how to, of course it happened later on in life, but I was like, I want to learn how to mend the relationships I've still been able to keep. I want to let people know that I love and care about them, and I want people to know that I am trying my best to, I don't know, just be the best person I can be, you know, for the people around me and for myself.
It's a crazy question. Maybe they're not answered, but it's a question I want to ask on the left. Yeah, like you said, people are going to do good things and bad things. You know what I mean? Like you said, you could be a small indie rapper, whatever, do good things and bad things. Be a giant artist, do good things and bad things, be more in the spotlight. Part of being human is doing good things and bad things, right? Some are do more bad things, therefore, they're more on the they're a bad person, right? Because they did more bad things than good things. Or they did more heinous things than the average person, right?
Sure.
But you, what I'm seeing is that, you fall into your dad's footsteps at some point, right? Mm-hmm. You, like, from what we talked outside this podcast, you've been through a lot, and for the majority of your life, you've always been battling something, right? But you, throughout this whole time in your whole life, even from what you're telling me since you're a kid, you still wanted to be better. You know what I mean? And it goes back to saying it's like everybody's gonna have to face a battle. Everyone's gonna has to choose right from wrong. Maybe in a bigger and a smaller scale, but sometimes I wonder, my dumb is like, what makes a person like inside? Like, you grew up with a fuck up dad. You could have right now been like, oh, like, my dad was abusive, fuck this, fuck the world, and you could have still been the person you are, which is a good person, but still with that mindset. But what makes a person still want to do better? Like, that's something you can't teach. You know what I mean?
You can't teach people to be better. Some people, have great lives and great families and everything, and they become serial killers.
So. Yeah, it's like, what do you think, contributes to some person, doing that?
I think it revolves around your genetic makeup, your upbringing, and I don't know. I think that's a question that I couldn't answer. I think everybody has been trying to figure that out since the beginning of time. They've tried to be like, what is it that makes a good person versus a bad person? And I'm not even on the record. I don't even want to say I'm a good person because it sounds a little too self-righteous to consider myself a good person.
No, I'm calling you a good person. Okay. You know, that's the, you know what I mean?
And that's subjective too. Yeah. So that's the other interesting thing is every person sees you differently. There's not one person that sees you the same as another person, which is crazy to think about. I don't see you the same as your mom sees you. Mm. Your mom doesn't see you the same way your girl sees you. Your girl doesn't see you the same way your other homie sees you. Your homie doesn't see you the same way your op sees you. You know, like, no one ever is going to see you the same way. And that's something that you have to just kind of take with a grain of salt, I guess.
I like to see it as like not everybody's good equally. Like, there might be someone who's like, yo, that person's like has a kinder heart than you, right? But I like to see it as simple as this. Like, there's some people that I feel like when I see them, they have a light going on, and there's some people who just don't have anything.
Have like a dark cloud
of- yeah, it's just those people with the lights shining on them. Like, that person could be like maybe like on drugs, you know what I mean, like, and fucked up and like doesn't give a fuck about anything, but he's a good person.
I do believe in rehabilitated behavior because there's some people that are.
I'm not saying that person's.
For instance, I had a talk with my mom recently. My mom's like an angel, right? I talk to my mom almost every day. I love my mom so much. She's apologized for a lot of the things that she has done in my life. And she, you know, we've had a lot of talks about, like, my dad being fucked up, and she's like, he's never going to change. But then the other day she said, you know, he might change. My dad changed before he died. And I was like, oh, when did he change? And she's like, oh, when he was 70. I was like, bro, what the fuck? Like, I mean, my dad's not too far from 70, but I was like, that's a long time to realize the error in your ways.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
He probably only started realizing is like, I'm going to die. So like,
maybe. Oh. I mean,
like your dad right now, like, has, like, I don't know him at all, but from what you're telling me, it's like, he probably is like,
He's stuck in that mode. He's been near death a gang of times, and he's just, it doesn't really phase him in that sense. He's also, I try to acknowledge that everyone's lived very different lives. And one thing my homie brought up to me the other day, we were out having some deep ass conversation when I was in San Diego. One thing that he said that was interesting was, your parents are just trying to give you a better life than they had. So their perspective on what good parenting is much different than what your perspective might be, because you're only getting the version that they gave you, and you're just knowing how to improve off that. So you're like, they didn't do a good job, I'm gonna improve X, Y, and Z. But they already improved X, Y, and Z. They already did that in their generation. Mm. So my dad doesn't speak on a lot of his upbringing, because I'm sure my dad's a very traumatized, messed up individual that thinks he's doing just great. So he might have improved X, Y, and Z. The child can't prove that your parent is doing a worse job at parenting than their parents did, you know? And I never really looked at it through that lens, so that was interesting to hear. Like, I was like, dude, my mom fucked up. But then I think she tells me about her growing up, and I'm like, oh, she actually fixed X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But now that I'm growing up and she raised me, I'm like, oh, you did this wrong, I'm gonna fix X, Y, and Z. And then my kids are gonna say I'm a shitty parent, and they're going to be like, I'm going to fix X, Y, and Z, and then, you know, and so forth. So,
Do you think there's a difference in, like you say, your parent? Like, there's a difference between your parent being a parent and your parent later on in life, you become your own person, treating you for who you are. Here's an example. Let's say you were to be gay, right? And then your mom's like, I don't like gay people, right? And then try to raise you, because you're her child, and you're in your years where you're, you know, she tries to parent you, and she does what you do, but later on in your life, you're your own person, you've done your own thing, and then she's like, sorry, Pete, or whatever, I don't like you, because you're gay, you know what I mean, like, don't come near me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think there's, it's just, like, there comes a point where it's, like, your mom now, you know what I mean, now she could talk to you, and now she could, like, because you're older, you're not her son anymore. Like, she's gone through life.
We don't have a very mother-son bond. My mom and I have a very friendly bond. We talk to each other like friends. We hang out like friends, and we do everything like friends do. But she's voiced her opinion on that before, being apologetic that she wasn't so motherly.
She wasn't a mom.
She was still a mom, you know? She was buying me the crazy Family Guy shirts at Hot Topic. Dripping me out in Dragon Ball Z shirts, and you know, she bought me Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. And
There's like a picture of you with the Xbox.
The picture of me with that. So there, you know, she bought my love sometimes, which was cool. And I know now in retrospect, knowing how poor we were, I'm like, damn, that's sick. And my mom like really went the extra mile sometimes. So I don't want to say my mom was a bad mom. I could have had it much worse, but she has apologized for, you know, some of the things she's done. And
providing, and then, like, actually, like,
providing and listening. Because, yeah, I mean,
there's a difference.
Even, I've always fucking hated rich people growing up. I was always like, man, fuck this fool.
Rich people.
Still hate them, you know? But you could be broke and born in a house with a lot of love. And rich people could be rich
I've seen it.
With no love, and it makes them cold as fuck, and it's like, why are you cold as fuck? You got the sick ass car when you were 16, you got this, you got that. But they were born without love, and I think not to sound like some like nerd ass hippie, but we all can agree that being surrounded by love and living with love is a lot more important than
Gore-Tex and money.
Than Gore-Tex and money, yeah.
Yeah. Damn, that's gonna be the title of this episode.
Is like Gore-Tex and money more important than love?
Love or Gore-Tex and money, and then like the little but do you do you want to talk about you moving running away? Or we can skip that and go to your 20s.
I could summarize it briefly. I lived in a chaotic household. I think I already spoke about that enough. I did run away from home when I was around 14, and then my parents were hip to it at one point, and they called the cops, and I came home, and I was just like, look, you guys can't make me stay here. You guys aren't supervising me enough to make me stay here, and you guys aren't... I convinced them they weren't really fit as parents.
You brainwashed your own parent. That's crazy.
Yeah, I manipulated my own parents.
Were they manipulative to you?
Yeah, of course.
So you manipulate. So you learn how to manipulate.
Sure. You learn how to be a bad person through bad people.
The student beat the teacher.
Yeah. So I mean, but I was right. Even in retrospect, there was a lot of truth to what I said. I for sure wouldn't ever let my kid run away from home now that I'm an adult and I understand, you know, I got homies that got kids and shit. I'm like, if I had a kid, I would for sure not let them. I just wouldn't let them. I'd just be more tapped in with their lives.
What if your kid one day is like runs away, escapes, and then you go up to him and be like, you're not, and he tells you you're not fit, like you do this, you do that.
I would be heartbroken because I would really, I would really try.
Yeah, but like, imagine like your kid's like, yo, like, yo, you do this, and like he names out specific things.
If he named off specific, I would sit there and I'd talk with them or her or they or them or whatever the fuck, and I'd be like, yo, I really want to be a part of your life. I love you, and I've tried my best to raise you, and I wanna be present in your life. And what could I do to make that work?
Would you give them the choice still, or would you be like I love you and you're coming back?
The thing is you. People think they can give their kids the choice. You can't. Your kid, if your kid really fucking hates you, they're gonna leave. They're gonna dip out. They whether you like it or not. Of course, the lack of resources usually make. I don't know if you ever ran away from home. Kids always run away from home, and then 10 minutes they're down the street. They're like, "Fuck, I'm coming back home." You know. So it is different. But that's all I'd really like to speak on for that. Yeah. I did leave my home. It did cause kind of a disruption in my family, even to this day. And it made growing up a lot more difficult.
That tumbled into a bunch of other things.
Yeah. But it did get me, you know, and then that's where I found a very deep connection with music. Before I never could play music. I never was like hip to how to do things. I couldn't afford music lessons or anything like that, but I think running away from home allowed me a perspective now to it just made me a lot more resourceful.
Well, I mean, I gotta give you the classic question. Looking back in hindsight, it led to your life to this exact moment. But you still would have run away, even though you...
Well, now that I know how my life is, it doesn't matter. But...
Well, what if there was something better if you would have stayed home?
You don't know. And you can't spend time wondering that.
All right, but right now, if I don't know, like, the Reaper from Family Guy comes up and he's like, yo, you want to see your life? Would you want to still see it? Would you be like, nah, I really don't want to see it?
That's a crazy question. No, I don't even want to know.
You don't want to see it.
If it's cool, then I'm just gonna be sad as fuck. And if it's not cool, then
your life's still cool. Like, what if it? Like, yeah, what if the only difference was that you had a little bit more money and a little bit like different types of friends? You know what I mean? What does those stuff matter? Like, I mean, what is there really? Like, is there anything that you think of like that another life could provide? It's like, what do you like? You have music. Like, let's not talk about money. You have music. You have a nice room. You have all this like stuff that like I'm pretty sure you would have collecting, whether you come, you know, you mean whether you would have been dirt broke for a long time or dirt or not for a long time. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the difference is if I didn't leave, I would have been more connected with my sister, maybe.
Okay.
I would have been, my relationship with my family might be a little bit different, and I'd be a little bit more book smart and not as street smart. But like I said, given my conditions, being street smart got me a lot further than, it got me a lot further, you know?
Well, I like to hear a smart person, so you probably would have found your way being book smart too. But book smart, you would have probably been more miserable. Street smart, you probably would have seen a lot of things that you didn't want to see.
True. Yeah. At the end of the day, I prefer being street smart over book smart just because it makes for a more interesting life.
Very true. I think about that.
That's the only thing. I wish I was book smart so I could have bread, but then you could have bread and still be miserable. Well, we could talk about this.
Yeah, you gotta go back and forth.
What's the next topic?
Well, so how was your life after whatever you moved out, you escaped, you grinded it out for a couple of years?
I worked my first job out like a couple years later.
What was your first job?
At the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
Dang.
I don't know if you know about that place.
I don't know. I've never been to Santa Cruz.
It was like everybody's first job in Santa Cruz, basically. Yeah. Almost. It was either that or you're working a hot dog on a stick. I don't even know if they still have those, but that was like the food court and all. And then...
You're a great swimmer?
I'm okay at swimming. I taught kids how to swim during there was a short period of my life where I was teaching kids how to swim at the YMCA while I was...
How's that? Like, you're miserable, or like, you're with all this shit, and then like, you're coming to these kids like, yo, like, this is how you like, come on, little, like...
Yeah, that was cool. I fucked with that. I didn't do it for that long. My skin got really bad because you're just in chlorine all day, mm-hmm. taking like 3 showers a day on top of that, so your skin's getting all dry, your arm hair looks like...
crusty.
I got Slim Shady pube color arm hair, but yeah, I mean, it was cool.
Out of all your crazy jobs, which one was your favorite?
Favorite?
Yeah. So out of all your random 151 jobs,
weird gigs that I've done in my life, dude, I don't even know. One thing about me is I just hate working, bro. I'm like the laziest, hardworking person you've ever met in your life. I fucking hate working. But I like working on things that I care about, but I just never really have the opportunity to work on things I care about. So...
But like the TikTok, or like that one TikTok, it's like, I don't dream... Like, it's like, what's your favorite job? It's like, I don't dream of labor.
I don't dream of labor, yeah.
So you don't have one
time, it's like, fuck, a favorite job. Oh, one time I worked at like this trap house... where we pretended to be a graphic design company. This was like in San Jose, and the cops came. We got raided and stuff, but my first day there, I got raided. There was helicopters and dogs and everything. It was crazy, but I liked that a lot. They were super nice to me. They like, we eventually overthrew the owner and created our own little company, and like, it was hella sick. It was short-lived, but it was so tight. Shout out all the people that worked there. It was really cool. It was called Roots. That's all I'm going to say. It was a cool little place. I don't think it's Googleable. I don't think it's something that
right people, now, the feds are like, yo.
The feds are listening. Like, what else? I'm like, dude.
Roots, why?
I'm hella dry snitching on myself, so I'll just fall back. But yeah, there was a lot of funky-ass jobs I've worked, I mean.
So you're 29.
I'm 29.
A lot of your life was spent on, you know, I guess, like, just pushing to get, I guess, where you are now. Maybe subconsciously you didn't even know that, like, just peace.
Yeah.
Do you think you're at the most peace you've been in your life, or do you think you still have a long way to go?
I got a long way to go, but this is for sure the most peaceful I've ever been. I don't care about the bullshit anymore, and I don't really care about climbing the ladder, which I guess is the easiest way to put it. I don't want to climb the ladder, whether it's like the corporate ladder or the social ladder. If people fuck with me, that's sick. If they don't, I don't care. I used to really want to be like famous, or I used to really want to be successful, and but success is so subjective. So I even have a bar, a lyric that's like, if success is subjective, why is it still inaccessible? Like, I should know what success is to me. Why can't I get it? Like, I know that it's not money. I know that it's not love from strangers. But, yeah, now I live a very peaceful life to a degree. I'd say my life is for show the most peaceful it's ever been. And I only intend to make it more peaceful. I don't have a reason to be beefing or living. I already had such high doses of it in my early 20s and in my teens and in my childhood that now I spent my teens trying to be an adult and play house. And I spent my teens trying to be in my 20s. I spent my 20s trying to be in my teens. So, you know, I was like 23, 24, 25, living like a teenager.
Like bumming it. Like
just bumming it or like trapping or like just doing shit that was like...
Eating off Twinkies, like for dinner.
No, I wasn't ever big on the Twinkies, but I was eating bullshit. I just didn't care about anything and I just wanted to... I wanted to make up for lost time.
When you were...
When I was a teen, because I ran away from home and was just like, you know, out of the mix. So when I... In my 20s, I was tapped in with the San Jose scene and I made all these friends and I was like, fuck it, I just want to do this all day. I just want to drink and smoke at the park and make songs with my friends. And it was all really a lot of fucking fun. There's some things I regret, but for the most part, I don't regret anything. And
when did you stop? Like you said in your 20s, you were living for your...
My 20s. Probably around like 25 is when I started to be like, okay, fuck. I'm like life is changing, you know? I used to always tell myself like, oh, if I'm gonna kill myself at 25, if, you know, like being old is dumb, you know?
I don't want to live.
It's just so corny. Now it's like, bro, like there's a whole, that's a quarter of your life. Not that the life expectancy is 100. I'm sure fools be dying at like 70 nowadays, but... Yeah, I just, I wanted to...
Wanted to die.
I wanted to die a lot of times. And I definitely tried to commit suicide a gang of times. And I tried to just... I was just very mad at the world, you know? But like I said, like, and I came off confident to some people. People from the outside looking in, a bit like, you're confident. But it's like what I said earlier. Is I was just hurting. I was just insecure and hurting like crazy.
And you purposely wanted people to think you were confident. Or you just played and that's how the role came off.
Like that, I think it's kind of a mix of both. Everyone wants to come off confident. I don't think anyone wants to come off like they're not confident. But, yeah.
Because people tell me that, but I'm like, I'm not trying to pretend to be confident. I just talk a lot. You know what I mean? But like,
even one of my best friends that lived here at this house with me a couple years ago, I remember having a conversation with him and I remember saying like, yeah, I wish I was more confident. And he was like, what the hell? You're like one of the most confident people I know. And yeah. I was like, you, the dude that lives with me and is like my best friend and everything. Even you don't see the facade. Like even you don't realize that I'm lacking in that department. So, yeah, the term confidence is even subjective in itself because some people might think you are, some people might think you aren't, and none of it matters other than your own perception of self.
Yeah. And so what happened at 25 that you were like, oh, shit?
25, I was just like...
Because I was like 4 years ago.
Damn, yeah, it was. It's been a long 4 years.
I was like...
It's been a crazy long 4 years, dude, I must admit.
Was that like COVID, right? Like at the beginning of COVID?
No. COVID was like 2019. Oh, I guess. No, COVID's 2020. This was in 2018.
Okay, so.
I'm turning 30 this year. Okay. That's rough. 2018. That's
so I was a freshman year in high school.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a freshman.
But that's when I was like, okay, I was losing a lot of friends.
Why? Have you could?
Just because I was a douche and. I don't know. I just was like,
what type of douche? Like an asshole? Like, I'm too cool for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was just like really selfish and I didn't really see the point in
friendship.
Some friendship. But the friendships I did care about when they stopped fucking with me, I mean, I'm still cool with all the same people I'm talking about now, but when I was on the cusp of losing these friendships to people that I looked I held so closely, that's kind of when I was like, fuck, I really need to, like, get my shit together. But even then, I still was a douche for, like, a minute, you know? Like, I moved to Long Beach because I was like, I want to be more acquainted with the scene out here. There's, like, there's no hip-hop scene at all in San Jose. And at that point, I started producing. I was rapping, and I was like, I really want to come out to L.A. or Long Beach because that's where the homies are at down here, and there's, like, a way more thriving, like, beat scene. And
a refresh.
Yeah, a refresh. And I remember telling my homie who I did a clothing brand named Problem with my homie Michael. Shout out, Michael. Yeah, I remember calling him and being like, yo, I want to move to Long Beach. Like, I want to get out of here. I feel like I've been in San Jose for like 6 or 7 years, or actually way longer than that, because I came when I was 14. So I was there for a long time, and I was like, yeah, I want to go see what else is out there. And we had a clothing brand, and I was like, I think diving into fashion and music is just more thriving in Southern California. So I want to do that. And he was like, all right, for sure, I'm down to go with you. He just, you know, was straight up, I'm down to go with you. I was like, oh, sick. And then I go next door to my homie, Chach. I was like, yo, I'm dipping to Long Beach. He's like, okay, cool, I'm going to stay here. And I was like, okay. And then we had a show out here in L.A., like, later that month. And then we played that show, and we had a really good time. It was that show on that poster. And then he just came back. We came back home, and he was like, yo, I'm moving with you to Long Beach. So then we all three of us moved down here and kind of just pursued everything we wanted to do. And even then, like, even living out here, you get really isolated. You have a lot of time to reflect because you're not tapped in with everyone like you were back home. Back home, it was like, if you're bored, you had so many homies to tap in with and go do something. Whereas here, you spend a lot of time bored. And then you have a lot of time to reflect on the kind of person you are, the kind of person you want to be. And because I was trapping and doing dumbass odd jobs in San Jose, when I came out here, I started kind of doing the same thing until I got, like, my first big boy job. And ironically enough, it was in the Bay, but they, like, flew me out to the Bay, and they got me, like, the hotel and everything, and I did the orientation there, and then I came back here. And that kind of snowballed into the role that I was in until I recently left. But I started, you know, working on getting money and not being an idiot with it. And then I started doing Biased because I was just like, oh, I want to, like, collaborate with other artists. I want to put out clothes. I want to put out tapes. I want to be able to throw events. I want to just kind of have this umbrella brand that just does whatever I think is sick, and it doesn't have to be constrained by genre or by a certain style. It can just be shit I'm into. And then that's why it'll be called Biased, because everybody thinks they're the best, but it's because they're biased, but we're the best because we're biased. You know, it's like that kind of shit. Yeah. So that was kind of like the start of that. And then as time passed, I didn't force anything. Everything kind of organically came into place, and I just linked up with a lot of amazing people, and because of the growth, I knew how to treat them right and be grateful for the connections I made. And I still am prone to self-sabotage and depression and everything else, but I have a very stronger grip on how all that works now.
I think before we get closer to wrapping this up, I wanted to ask you, at the time when you were 25 or whatever, at that age, you're like losing these friendships, and then you told me you're realizing that you're losing all these friendships.
Yeah.
At that time, what made you realize, like, I want to keep, well, like, what in your head was like, I want to keep these friendships, and be, what things led up to you realizing that, oh, I'm going to lose this friend?
Well, because these people loved me. No one loves someone unconditionally. I think that's kind of an unrealistic term to say I unconditionally love you. I think it is. I guess let me backpedal real quick. I think you can love someone unconditionally. You can cut ties with someone and be like, oh, I still love them. I still wish them the best, but fuck them also because they're weird as hell. They did this and this to me. But there's people that just fucked with me through all of my goofiest little phases and times of my life that it kind of made me be like, dude, these people are worth sticking around and improving myself for, you know? Like,
and how would they kind of like let you know, like, you know what, it's actually like kind of changing, or how was it?
It was just like, you mean when did I know I was losing them?
Yeah.
Just the arguments, just arguing with people and just being stubborn and letting your ego get in the way of your pride and ego. Those are the two things that are going to kill you before life actually kills you, like your pride and your ego. So when you learn how to like drop that and just keep it a book with people, like, and even with my girl, when we would argue, there's times where you're just like, oh fuck, like she's really right, like she's right, I'm just getting, my ego's just in the way and I just want to be right, but I'm not. And vice versa, I'm not saying this as like it's some crazy me thing. I think everybody goes into this at some point in their life. Like my mom said, it happened to her dad when he was 70. It happens to everyone. We're all in the same book of life. It happens at different pages for everybody. But yeah, you kind of just realize like there's some people that are worth improving for and that make your life worth living. And that's probably, to circle back to the parenting thing, that's probably what you're supposed to learn as a child, but you know, I didn't, and I learned later on, but I'm still glad I learned it nonetheless. If I learned it at 25 and like actually perfected that ideology, like now, I can't say I perfected it, but you know what I mean?
Well, you've tried.
Structured it. Some people don't have that epiphany until 35, 45, 55, 65, or on their deathbed, you know? So, is what it is.
That's a beautiful thing. I think, should we just wrap it up here?
Yes, yeah, fuck it.
That was beautiful. Anything else you want to say? Anything you want to give a fuck you or a love you?
Shout out all the homies. I'm not going to say anyone in particular because it's definitely going to piss other people off if I don't shout them out. So I'm just going to give
the cops are listening, remember.
Very vague. Listening. Very vague, big thank you and love to all the people who support me. Fuck with Biased. Fuck with all my creative endeavors and fuck with me as a person. Fuck cops and fuck anyone that's hating on me. Suck my dick, etc. And you're not gonna hit me with the this or that thing like last time, right? Or you still gonna hit me with it?
You wanna do it?
As long as it's good. Don't give me the dumb ones.
Alright, then I'll probably give you dumb ones, so we're gonna wrap it up because I ain't gonna prepare.
Let's see.
Alright. I mean, that's the thing, you like so much that I'm like, it's hard to like narrow it down.
Yeah.
Alright, ceremony or trash talk?
Early trash talk, I really like. I really like the self-titled LP from like 2009 or something, but also really like early ceremony. Those were both like integral to my introduction to hardcore when I was like 13, 14.
So you gotta pick one though.
Early trash talk.
Sick. Would you rather be the best photographer in the world or the best producer in the world?
Crazy. That's a good question. I'd rather be the best producer in the world.
Yeah.
Just because that shit hits people. I don't know. Music's an international language. I guess photography is too, but when people fuck with you as a producer, you guys have a more aligned way of thinking than the photography world. Or at least I feel that way.
All right. Wu-Tang, Bone Thugs.
Wu-Tang. Easy.
Yeah.
My girl would be so pissed at that because she's like a diehard Bone Thugs fan, but Wu-Tang for sure.
Yeah.
Ghostface in particular. But, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Big Push Tsunami.
I say Big Boy just because those are my besties, so.
Yeah. Suicidal or The Descendants?
Okay, that one. When I was younger, I liked Descendants more, but I would say Suicidal.
Sick. All right, classic. B.I.G. or Tupac?
Easy, B.I.G.
For me. All right.
Hey, let me do some for you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Shakira or Sean Paul?
Shakira.
Damn, for real?
I grew up with Shakira.
Shout out all the Colombians out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's see here.
Anime or sci-fi?
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I don't fuck with Star Wars and that kind of shit. But I do fuck with sci-fi a lot, as you can tell by my room. But I also really fuck with anime to some degree. I guess to an anime nerd, I don't. I'm like a total poser.
The P. Weber, is it a sci-fi or anime?
P. Weber shit is more.
No, the sci-fi. Movie. P. Weber, the movie. Like, if there's a movie about you.
Oh, fuck! That'd be a sick ass anime. Sci-fi. Yeah, be sci-fi, just because I'd be fucking with crazy cameras and doing all kinds of funny effects and shit. Alright, damn. This game is hard. You're supposed to write these things ahead of time, huh?
Nike or Adidas?
Nike, easy. Converse checks all day. Converse. But that's a subsidiary of Nike, so I guess I just chose. Yeah,
Arc'teryx or Stone Island?
Arc'teryx, dude. I don't fuck with Stone Island.
Drake. Who the fuck beats Drake?
Anything beats Drake. I'm not a Drake guy.
Kendrick or YG?
Kendrick, easy.
Yeah. So hard. Baker. Early Baker, early Zero.
Early Baker, just because Baker 3 was such a crazy impact on my life. I fuck with Baker 3 a lot.
World's Industries or Alien Workshop?
That's a crazy one. That one's crazy. I straight up couldn't answer that. I was gonna say World Industries because that was like the OG bad kid skate brand, but as I got older, I started to understand and appreciate
alien shit.
Yeah, so I can't answer that one. World Industries as a kid, Alien Workshop now.
Alright, black metal or death metal?
Death metal.
Grindcore? Nah. Plutocracy or Spaz?
Fuck, that's... Yo, shout out both bands.
They're both sick.
I couldn't answer that.
Damn, alright.
Because Spaz is sick as fuck to me, but you can see around my room, there's a lot of Plutocracy shit, so I can't,
Spaz is like, I feel like...
There's a lot of Spaz shit, too.
You know, like, the baggy pants character? Like, with the, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Spaz, like, every time I think of a Spaz head in the 90s, I think of, like, the baseball cap with the little, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
With, like, a baggy skate shirt with some baggy jeans, with some, like, Cyrus, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're gonna wrap it up there.
Yeah, fuck it, I gotta take a piss.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you.